All right, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. And this is such a familiar verse. People quote it at Christian high school graduations and college graduations. And, you know, you hear this a lot. But it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Everybody say, a future.
Future.
I have a future. And a hope. And it's not evil. It's full of peace. And God's got a plan for you. Would you agree? God's got a good plan for you. Look, no matter what you've walked through, no matter what you've been through, no matter what you've experienced, no matter what's happened in your life, God's speaking to you today. I've got a better future for you. It's gooder than whatever you've experienced. It's better than whatever your past is. God's able. Don't let your future be defined by your past. Even your bad decisions. God's got a plan for you. And God's got a plan for Calvary Cathedral, and it's good. Yes? I understand we're in a dark time in this world. I mean, you just turn on the news and you can see all kinds of weird, flaky things, people doing their thing. But I'm telling you, God's got a future for you. And your future is so bright, you're going to have to squint to see it. Yeah, and it's not limited to what's happened to you in the past. The Lord's got a future and a destiny and a plan to fulfill for each of His children. I don't want any more or less than that. How about you? A man can receive nothing unless it's been given to him from heaven, John 3:27 says. I only want what heaven has for me. How about you? I don't want anything that heaven hasn't graced me with. I want everything that heaven has assigned to me. I want to fulfill the future that God has for me. But too many times what happens is we're planning our own future, we're figuring it out, and then we present it to God and ask Him to bless it. If you just seek God and find out what His plan is for you, it's already going to be blessed. And God's got a plan for you. I don't care how old you are. I mean, man, he didn't even begin with Moses, or Moses, you know, didn't even begin to do the will of God till after he got his BSD degree, backside of the desert. And then God still fulfilled His will through him. You know, the great apostle John, he was 90 years old. 90, count them, 90 years. And he could have started the first t-shirt club. You know, been there, done that, heard that, know that. I mean, he'd been with Jesus. Now he's on the Isle of Patmos, isolated. Yeah? He's isolated. No, there's very few people where he's at. Then he's restricted in geography, and he used to be the pastor of the largest church in the world, and all the good, great things he'd seen with Jesus. But in that place of isolation, in that place of older age, in that place of restriction, Jesus yet came to him with a new assignment. And gave him the book of Revelation. God's got new assignments for you. Do you have breath? How many of you are breathing? Okay, then there's more for you. There's more on the menu for you. God's got greater things for you. He's not done with you. God hadn't called us to retire. He's called us to refire. And we're not going to be singing with Barbara Streisand the way we were. Or with Paul McCartney, "Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far." No, we're not singing that, man. We're singing "The best is yet to come." I said, "The best is yet to come." He's not done with you. He's not done. He's got a plan for you. He's got a destiny for you. He's got a future for you. And it's good. It's not bad. It's not evil. There are no boogeymen around your corner. You are the devil's worst nightmare. I mean, you think the devil's brought storms into your life, you are his biggest storm. If you get a hold of this, that you understand God's not done with you, he's got a purpose for you, he's not done with this church, are you kidding me? Jesus is alive and well in planet Earth and in his people. I had a good friend of mine that went to, in fact, he took a group of our students from Karis Bible College, took them to the Mardi Gras, and then I mean, you know, you see all kinds of things out there, and they were witnessing to people, seeing people saved and healed and filled with the Spirit. And anyway, they run into this gypsy that was had a sign out there and said palm reading, you know, and the gypsy asked my friend, he said, "Well, would you like me to read your palm? Would you like to know your future?" And my Christian friend and leader said, "Well, I already know my future. Would you like to know yours?" And so they got this cool idea because they saw palm reading, you know. So the next day, they put up a sign and went down the street a little bit, put up a booth, Psalms reading. And people came by and they thought they were going to get their palm read, and they give them a psalm, and they start praying for them and prophesying to them and speaking their future to them. Man, that's awesome. I love that. Listen, guys, God is not confused about your future, and he wants us to walk in it. He told us right here, I've got a future for you. I've got a plan for you. And it's good. It's full of hope. It's full of prosperity. When the word peace includes prosperity. So your future consists of thoughts you haven't thought yet, words you haven't spoken yet, actions you haven't taken yet, and circumstances you don't know yet. Thoughts you haven't thought yet, words you haven't spoken yet, actions you haven't taken yet, and circumstances you don't know yet. And three out of four of those, you and I are in control of. Right? You can't control what everybody else does, but you can sure control. You can control your thoughts. You can control your words. You can control your actions. Yeah? And how are your thoughts, your words, and actions working towards your future? That's what I want to submit to you today. How are your thoughts, your words, and your actions moving towards your future? Let me speak to parents today, okay? How are your thoughts and your words and your actions working toward your children's future? Because you and I can have the power to speak a prophetic potential into our children, or we can lock them in to a fleshly identity. Yeah? You can prophesy over them. Yeah, I know your kids are you know, more perfect than mine were, but they still have flesh, and it's easy to just get them locked into, you know, what, you know, maybe the teacher said they're not smart in this, or they're not wise in this, or maybe they're telling you got ADHD, or just tell them no, they're a PhD. Hallelujah. You can prophesy. You can speak over your children. Yeah, this may be a fact, but let me tell you, devil, this is real spiritual warfare. Let me tell you, Mr. Devil, the way things really are. While you're here trying to lock my child into mediocrity or carnality or immaturity, let me tell you the way things really are. And you begin to speak the word of God over your children. And you prophesy it to them, even when you're correcting your children. Don't ever tell them you're a bad boy or a bad girl. You let them know what you did was wrong, you know, and this is how it affected other people. But let me tell you that you're better than that. You've got the power of God on the inside of you. You're born again. You've got the nature of God, and you begin to prophesy to your children. Prophesy over your mate. If your mate is carnal right now, don't agree with that. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's in all things have passed away. All things have become new. Yeah? And you're a new creation in Christ. Is that true? But does anybody know what verse 16 says? It says, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh." You cannot help people fulfill their new creation potential while you are locking them into a fleshly identity. We can change the world. We can change people's world around us. We've got to speak what God says about them instead of locking them into where they are right now. How many of you ever watched the movie Groundhog Day? Any of you watched Groundhog Day? How many of you haven't watched Groundhog Day? You need to get Groundhog Day and watch it. It's an old movie. Bill Murray was a star, and he was a television a journalist, and he went out to Pennsylvania to celebrate where they first started the Groundhog Day thing started. What was the name of the town? Punxsutawney or whatever that is. Anyway, some place in Pennsylvania. And so he went out there and he was mocking everything that was going on, and he was, you know, kind of a jerk, and he went through the whole day and he was self-absorbed and focused on just what was good for him, and then he woke up the next morning in the same day with Sonny and Cher singing some song. And the same day, and he went out, and Groundhog Day came up over again, you know, where they went out on the town square and they brought out the groundhog, and it would, if he could see his shadow, it was going to be 6 more weeks of winter or whatever. Everything was the same day over and over again. And it happened the next day, he woke up he first responded in shock. And then he decided, well, you know what, if I'm going to be living the same day, I might as well just indulge myself. And so then it was in self-indulgence, and next frustration. Then the next day, the same day, he woke up hearing the same song and went out, and everything, he'd already seen the day happen. And then he became depressed, and then he was tempted to give up on life. And then he decided, well, I'm going to do self-improvement, and you know, if I'm going to go on the same day, I might as well learn Russian and then ice sculpting. And finally, he had some kind of an epiphany or revelation that caused him to realize what life was all about, and that's self-sacrifice. Since I know what the next day is bringing forth, I might as well serve other people. And things that had happened that were hurtful and harmful, he was able to prevent that. And he began to be loving and caring, and when knowing what the day was to bring forth, he was now prepared to help others, to avoid tragedy and harm and pain. And when he finally realized what life is all about loving others and living for others, he moved into the next day. So it's an important lesson that we learned. The same day that he lived over and over again could actually have been changed earlier by the way he approached it and how he responded to it. And there's a lesson for you and I in all this. How are you approaching the season of your life? Are we blessing our day or cursing our day? Are we blessing others, or are we living for ourselves? Are we thankful, or are we complaining about what we have? Some of us are stuck in the same day over and 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 over again. We're stuck like Chuck in a time warp of our pain, and we can't get into the next day. Because we're looking at life with just being self-absorbed, and we're not thankful, we're not living for others, we're just thinking about ourselves. And if you learn what life is all about, it's about laying your life down for others. It's about It's about bringing love and life and hope and peace to other people. Are you hearing me? But some of us are stuck in a Groundhog Day of our own making because somebody got promoted before us, or somebody looks like they're doing better than us, or you got disappointed in life, or somebody did you wrong, and you're constantly singing the "Somebody Did Me Wrong" song over and over and over again. And you become a victim instead of the victor that you really are. Look at your neighbor and say, "You're a victor. You're not a victim." And we need to realize that God put us here not just to take up space and time, but to make a difference in the lives of others. Yeah? God's got a plan for you, and it's awesome. But you can get stuck like Chuck, being offended at what somebody did, or being offended at God because maybe your dream got dashed, or you got disappointed, or maybe you went through a bankruptcy and God put it in your heart to start a business, and you experienced some ministry failure, or it's been a long time since things have happened, or somebody got in your way and hindered you, or maybe you went through a divorce, unwanted divorce. Well, I'm telling you guys, your future is still bright, or you can live in Groundhog Day, staying offended. And there are people that are upset at God. They've got unforgiveness toward God, or they're blaming God, or they're blaming other people. And I shared with the Bible college yesterday, this whole thing about being offended. If you allow, Jesus said it's impossible that no offenses will come. It's impossible. Is it possible that no offenses are going to come? No, they're going to come. Disappointments are going to happen. People are going to betray you. People are going to disappoint you. How many of you ever experienced any of that? I'm going to have an altar call for liars for the rest of you. You can't go through life without experiencing that. But you cannot live in the place of... See, it's one thing for an offense to come. It's another thing for you to become offended. Becoming offended is not an event that happens to you. It's a decision you make. And then I'm not going to turn over there and read it. I didn't give this to the guys back there, this verse, but Matthew 24, verse 10, it gives you the downward spiral of offense. It said, they'll betray many, there'll be hatred, false prophets rise, deception, lawlessness, and cold love. I'm not concerned about global warming. I'm more concerned about global chilling. Right in the middle of that list of people, when offenses come and they don't process their offenses, it says that many false prophets rise. Do you know where false prophets come from? The place of becoming offended. When you become offended, you enroll unconsciously, unintentionally, but in reality nonetheless, you enroll in the school of false prophets, and you learn their ways of betrayal, hatred, deception, lawlessness, and cold love. And you get stuck like Chuck in a Groundhog Day of your own making. Guys, God's got a better future for you than that. I'm sorry what people have done to you to hurt you. I'm sorry for the pain that you've gone through. I'm sorry for, how somebody abused you. I mean, I'm not making light of any of that. But let me tell you something, guys. God's got a greater future for you. Do you know why you're stuck in that place of offense? I mean, you could be mad at all women or all men, or you could be mad at white people or black people or brown people or yellow people or purple people. I don't know what you're upset at. You could be mad at somebody and you can stay stuck like Chuck in a time warp of your pain. Do you know why you're there? Because you're valuing your pain and your loss greater than the cross. You're valuing what people did to you, what someone did to you, more than what Jesus did for you. And I'm sorry they hurt you. I'm sorry I'm sorry I went through some of the stuff that I went through. But I'm telling you, I don't have the smell of smoke on me. And I'm not living in a groundhog day of my own making. I'm going into my future. And God called me here today to call you out of being stuck and go out of your groundhog day and get you into your future. You got to release those folks and let them go. Let it go. Let it go. Just watch Frozen. I watch it with my granddaughters. And man, after a while, I'm... How many of you want to see how many of you want to bring forth your future? Matthew 12:25, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. What are you bringing forth? Some of you have been through pain, you've been through hurt, you've been through disappointment, and you don't have the smell of smoke coming on you. The rest of you, you've started your own Victims Anonymous Club and you pass out gold membership cards to anybody who will enable you to stay a victim. And you don't realize that you have developed a pattern in your life that just causes you to wake up in the same day over and over again. Well, all the time God's got a great future for you. Amen? So how to bring forth your future in God? How many of you want to know that? I'm going to just give you four things really quickly. Because, I mean, look, guys, there's a lot of things I could preach and teach on, but I really felt strong today about, lots of years ago, I preached along these lines, and I just had this in my heart for Calvary Cathedral International and for you individually, that God's got yet a bright future for you. And some of you just feel stuck in mediocrity and stuck in the same day. And it's time, guys, for us to get out of our groundhog day. And get out of victimhood. You're not a victim, you're a victor. Yeah? So how do you bring forth your future in God? Number one, what are you seeking? What are you seeking? Look back at Jeremiah 29. You know, the verse we started with where it says, I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. But then nobody goes on and reads, or very few people ever quote the rest of the verse, 12 and 13. He told you, I've got a future for you. Now I'm going to tell you how to get into it. Then you'll call upon me and go and pray to me and I will listen to you. Verse 13, and you will seek me. Everybody say, seek me. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. It's real simple, guys. What are you seeking? Well, I said, what are you seeking? See, if you're seeking your own plan, you're seeking your own dreams, you're seeking your own thing, and you don't get in neutral and just, Lord, I'll go anywhere and I'll do anything. Whatever you have for me, that's what I'm going to do. That's what Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek His kingdom first, not your plans, not your little deal, not even your parents' plans for you. You can't. God's got a future and a hope for you, but you've got to seek Him. Amen. I mean, you know, you pray. Has it come to that? that we would simply pray. And God, I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. I didn't get saved for 7 years after I heard the gospel, because I saw everybody that got saved, they were responding, filled to a call to go to Africa or China or India or some godforsaken place that I knew a pretty girl wouldn't follow me. And I wanted a pretty wife, and I got one, but I didn't think she'd follow me to Africa or China or somewhere like that. And I had nothing to do with any prejudice against Africans or Indians or Chinese. It was my fear. I was not trusting God that whatever He put in my heart and for His plan for my life, it would be a good plan. And I didn't want to leave Texas. But then it was interesting, you know. And then after I got saved and filled with the Spirit and following God, and I became an overseer of a large African ministry It's awesome. But see, it's about seeking God and raising up the white flag, and God, I'll go anywhere, I'll do anything, whatever your will is. If you reveal it to me, that's where I'll go. But you can't hear God like that. I'm going to give three scriptures that these guys aren't going to have back there, but Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, verse 15, and Hebrews 4, verse 7, all say this, if you would hear his voice today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. Three times, today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. So how do you harden your heart? Lord, I'll go anywhere, but I'll never be a pastor. I'll never get married again. I'll never do this. I'll never go into ministry. I'll never do this. I'll never do that. See, guys, that's you hardening your heart. You can't get into your future. You can't even begin to seek God until you remove all the buts and the nevers out of your heart. What are you willing to do? Where are you willing to go? God will send you to remarkable places, and he's got a wonderful adventure for your life, but you've got to seek him and trust him and then remove all the buts and all the nevers. You will stay stuck like Chuck in your own Groundhog Day until you start seeking the Lord with all of your heart. And God, that means, God, I'll go anywhere and I'll do anything. I want to ask you a question today. How many of you are willing to go anywhere and do anything that you know God's told you to do? Then you can get into your next day if you didn't lift your hand, or maybe you did and didn't. I mean, you didn't, but you wanted to. But if you don't have that attitude in your heart, guys, you can't find your future. You can't move into your future. He said it right here. Look, I've got a future for you, but you're going to have to seek me with all your heart. That means you got to open your heart. And I say, yes, Lord. You know, if somebody says, no, Lord, that's an oxymoron. That's a moronic ox. And you can't get into your future like that. Amen? John 16, 13, God said, Jesus said, look, the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. He'll show you what your future is, but you got to seek him, and you got to lay down all these misconceptions, all these fears, all these things that have hindered you. And I'm telling you, listen, you got to understand, I'm not old yet, okay? But I'm not as young as I used to be. But I have experienced trusting God with your life, guys, is a wonderful, wonderful adventure. And he's not going to leave you lacking or without finances. He's going to bless you and bless your family and make you a blessing. But some people never get into their future because they're afraid of what God might ask them to do. And I'd like to go on to the next point, but somebody just needs to get this. God is speaking to some people here. I've got a wonderful plan for you. It's bright. It's wonderful. It's great. Will you trust me? That following me is not going to be a loss. It's going to be a great gain. Following me, there's divine appointments, divine connections. Following me, there's abundance and prosperity. Following me is the only way to go. See, it's more than just coming to an altar and saying yes to Jesus. It's, you know, we all say, well, I'd die for Jesus. Well, will you live for him? Will you give your life to God and just say, God, you can do whatever you want. I've got a blank slate here. You can use me in any way you want to. How many of you here is God speaking to about that, who's previous to this message? You would admit, my heart's been hard. I told God I'll do anything but this, or I'll never do this or never do that. But I'm going to be courageous and bold today and say, you know, Lord, yes, you can use me. I'll go anywhere and I'll do anything. Lift your hand real high. I want to see that. Praise God. I'll pray with you at the end. So what are you seeking? And then the second thing, what are you seeing? Look at Genesis. What are you seeing? What do you see? Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, everybody say after these things. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Don't be afraid, Abram. I'm your shield. I'm your exceeding great reward. See, there were, when he, the first verse there, he says, after these things, there were a lot of things that happened that caused Abram to be afraid. Otherwise, God wouldn't have told him, don't be afraid. Then look at verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body will be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to them, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord and counted him to him for righteousness. So he, after these things, there was a whole lot of stuff that happened to Abram at this point. He got a promise from God about 15 years prior to this, that he was going to be blessed to be a blessing. And a whole lot of stuff happened. How many in between the time God promised and then where he was right here, how many of you had a dream or a promise from God and then life happened? And people get in the way. Disappointment happens. And so Abraham, he was our great father of our faith, but he first of all, God told him, leave and then go to a land I'll show you, and he stopped two-thirds of the way. So first of all, he stopped short of the promise. And then he went in to the land. He wasn't supposed to take his family. He took some of his family. He went into the land, and then it said he went on still. So first of all, he stopped short. Then he goes on beyond. Then he puts his wife's neck on the line to save his own. This is a father of our faith. Gives me hope. And then he had relationship conflict with Lot, and he gave up the best land to Lot, and then there was warfare, and then he tithed to Melchizedek, then he left a bribe on the table that for the kings. All these things happened, and so Abram was doubting, not God, he was doubting himself that God could still use him and bring the promise to pass. After all these things that have happened, maybe you've gone through a divorce since the promise or the dream that God gave you. Or maybe you've gone through a bankruptcy or a failure or just time lapsed of the promise. God was telling Abram, listen, lift up your eyes from the place where you are. Stop looking in the rearview mirror. The deal is still on. I will yet bring it to pass. I will yet bring the promise to pass. What are you seeing? And too many times we're focused on our mistakes, our failures, our bad decisions, or other people, or just, we're disappointed because it's been 10 years or 15 years. If God put it in your heart, He will yet bring it to pass. Guys, you've got to seek God and be willing to do whatever He tells you to do. But then you've got to lift up your eyes from the place that you are, because God believes in you. And if you believe that, God will yet bring that vision and that dream to pass. Your future depends on what are you seeing? What are you seeing? And then 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18 or 17 and 18, basically say the same thing. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us. See, these things are working for you if you believe right, guys. And you don't give up on the promise just because bad stuff has happened or disappointments happened or delay has happened. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, the things which are not seen are eternal. What are you looking at? How do you see yourself? You can't move into the future living in the rearview mirror. And I'm speaking to somebody here today who's basically you've given up because you've messed up so many times, or it's just been such a time difference between what God promised you and where you are. And again, I'm speaking to some people here who, just because of age, you've given up. God's not given up on you. He's not done with you. God, there are yet new assignments He has for you. And if I could stand up on this pulpit and yell it from the housetops, I'm pleading with somebody to listen. God's not done with you. He's not, you're not washed up. You're not finished. God's got a bright future for you. But look, guys, you've got to seek Him. And then you've got to let Him lift up your eyes from all the stuff that you see in the natural and let Him give you new vision. He's going to revision you. He's going to refocus you. Amen? He's going to give you new assignments that will yet make a difference in the kingdom of God. What are you seeing? What are you seeing? You can't accomplish it if you can't see it. And you can't see it if you're looking at the stuff around you or your past. Lift up your eyes from the place that you are. Amen? And then what are you saying? What are you saying? Mark 11:23, the verse that Kenneth Hagin wrote. Not really, but he quoted a bunch. Mark 11:23. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will come to pass, he'll have whatever he says. What are you saying? Your words have the power to bring forth your future. And you're much more likely to be committed to things you see and things you say than just a random thought that hits your head. If you see it in prayer, then begin to speak it out. This is what I'm going to do. This is what God's going to do through me. This is what God's promised to me. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Yeah? And in James chapter 3, look at James chapter 3. And I have the airport in sight. We're just about to land. Amen? Is this okay today? James chapter 3 and verse 2. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone doesn't stumble in word, he's a mature man, able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths and that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. You can turn about your body. You can change your body. You can change your life. You can change your destiny with your words. And I'm not talking about random words. I'm talking about words that have you been seeking God, and God gives you a vision, a dream, a promise, and you've got to begin to speak that, guys. You say what God says, and you agree with God. The problem is many times we're saying what somebody else has said about us. God doesn't agree with you. I know one time somebody wrote bad letters about us and all kinds of stuff, and I was driving my car, Dan, defending myself to myself. You ever done that? And the Lord said, I've never heard anybody talk like this before. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, whose father said that about you? Whose father said that? I don't know. What do you mean, God? He said, well, it wasn't me. Okay, hallelujah. So stop defending yourself to yourself. Stop speaking the things that the enemy's speaking over you, and agree with God. Speak the things that God's saying over you. I can do that. I can go there. I can be that. I can win that scholarship. I can go to that college. I can do that ministry. I can do what you told me to do, God. I can go where you told me to go. I can go to China. I can go to India. I can go to Africa. I can go and I can do what God tells me to do. But I can't get there if I don't agree with it and I don't speak it. Amen. And I might not have the money. But God never asked me if I had anything about how much money I had when He asked, put it in my heart to do it. I'm just, yes, sir, we agree. I can do that. I can go there. We can do this. We can. What has He put in your heart? Calvary Cathedral, international, individual, corporately, what has He put in your heart? We've got to agree with it, guys. What is He saying to us? If we're going to go into our future, we've got to agree with Him. What has He put in your heart? I'm not talking about what your flesh whim is. I'm talking about what has God spoken to you that you know He's spoken to you. And you agree with that. If you're going to get out of Groundhog Day, if you're going to go into your future, you've got to be saying what God says about you. God, we can do that. Now, He's never asked me to do anything I ever felt the ability to do. He called me out of business and called me into ministry, and my knees were knocking, standing in front of people, and you know, I didn't think I could talk in front of folks. I'm sure you're still wondering that, but you know, I had to lean into His grace to do that. And then He called me from pastoring to oversee this large African ministry. And then I became the dean of education at Karis Bible College, and I didn't even know what a dean did. I had to lean into deaning grace. Are you hearing me? Listen, guys, I just agree with Him. I never felt adequate for anything that He's asked me to do. But I agree with Him, and then what happens? His ability comes, His grace comes, His power comes, His anointing comes, His wisdom comes, help comes. If you find somebody, can He find someone at Calvary Cathedral to agree, international, to agree with Him? God, You can do this through me. We can go there. We can do that. And you young people that are going on this trip, listen, it'll be a life-changing trip for you. But I don't have the money. That's not the issue. Did God put it in your heart? If He put it in your heart, He can provide for you over and above spaghetti dinners. Did He tell you to go? That's the issue. Yes, sir. You step into it. I'm going. I don't know how I'm going to, I don't know. I'm willing to work. I'm willing to cook. I'm willing to do whatever. But listen, guys, this is how we move into our future. This is how, and it's step by step, and it doesn't stop. It goes throughout our lives. What has He put in your heart? And what do you, lift up your eyes from where you are and get your eyes off of yourself and get them on God, because His future is bright for you. But you got to agree with it. You will never enter into it if you don't agree with it. There are businesses yet here to be started. There are ministries yet to be started. There are churches yet in here that need to be birthed. David and Janet, God's not done with you. God's got a plan for you, and it's a good plan, and it's a prosperous plan. And I see you ministering to many and discipling many and teaching many. I see many students and many people gathered around you learning the Word of God. He's not done with you yet. Man, the best is yet to come for you. You're not retiring, you're refiring. He's not done with us, guys. Are you kidding me? Thank God for the revival of 1993. Man, we're in 2018, and there's a revival in 2018, and you and I are it. You and I are the move of God. You and I are the power of God. You and I are the anointing of God. Thank God for 1993, but I'm not singing yet with Paul McCartney yesterday. I'm saying the best is yet to come, and the better move of God, the stronger move of God, the greater anointing of God is yet to come. And I'm it, and you're it. And we're not complacent, and we're not wishing for the days that were. The best days are in front of us, but we got to agree with that. We got to speak that. We got to say, devil, I am your worst nightmare. I love what I do. I preach myself happy. Thank you, Jesus. What are you saying? God just needs somebody to agree with Him. I mean, He does awesome things from little small places, moves of God that start from, you know, little places and nobody, you know, people that nobody knows. Man, as long as we give Him the glory and we just say, God, you can do anything. I'll go anywhere. Man, I am your next revival. And the move of God is through me. And I'm not looking in the rearview mirror. Man, we got better days ahead of us. Are you kidding me? Amen. We're not holding on to something that happened in the past. Thank God for what happened in the past. Thank God for the book of Acts. But we are writing new pages. Acts 29. We're Acts 29 people. Praise God. And then finally, we have landed, I think. Maybe we're going to take off again here. What are you sowing? What are you sowing? Luke 6:38, give and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will men give into your bosom. The same measure you give, it'll be given back to you. What are you sowing? You know, I love what my pastor, Bob Nichols, says. You know, God will make happen for you what you make happen for others. If you bless others, God will make it happen for you. Janice and I sow into our pastor. We sow regularly because I wouldn't be where I am without him and without Calvary Cathedral International. But you look at what ministries are feeding you, what ministries are leading you, what ministries have a vision like you have, man. Sow into success. Not, you know, we need to give to the poor. I'm not above giving to somebody with a sign, cardboard sign out there. But I'm going to constantly feed the poor and bless the poor and all this. But, you know, if I'm going to be a success in business, I'm going to sow into a business that's going up, not one that's going down. In ministry, I want to sow into ministries that are successful. Are you hearing me? I want to encourage you guys. I'm really not trying to sell books, okay? I just want to encourage you. My newest book is coming out. Destiny Image is publishing it. They bought Harrison House. And it's called Flowing in the Supernatural. And I want to encourage you to get it. I want to resource you with this, okay? If you go on Amazon right now and you can get pre-order. It's coming out in January. I'm just telling you about it because what I'm sharing with you is that's what that book is about. Is that, man, God's not done with the supernatural. We need to see the book of Acts again and how we can walk in this. Amen. And I'll bring the books here when they come out in January. We'll resource it. But what are you sowing? You know, we've got to sow, guys. Galatians 6, and I'm done. Look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will reap of the flesh, corruption. He who sows to the Spirit will reap life everlasting. Don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we'll reap if we don't faint. See, what happens in church, sometimes we go through winter seasons. Okay? Every church does. We go through drier seasons. And a lot of times those things happen so that we find out who the faithful ones are who can go into the next season. But let me tell you something, guys. God's bringing a spring and a harvest season to Calvary Cathedral International, and to your life. And I'm not going to stop sowing. I'm not going to stop giving. I'm not going to stop believing. As long as I've got life and I've got breath, we're going to see the move of God, and I am the move of God, and so are you, and we are going to go into our future. And I'm not going to look, when I get to heaven, I want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I don't want to hear, "Well." I understand there's hypocrites in every church. I've determined not to be one. Okay? But let me tell you something. If you let a hypocrite in a church stand between you and God, that hypocrite's closer to God than you are. And I'm sorry that there's hypocrites. There are. But there's also genuine folks. And I'm not going to let anybody stop me and cause me to get stuck like Chuck in a Groundhog Day. I'm coming out of Groundhog Day, and I'm going into my next day, and I am the devil's biggest nightmare, and God is yet going to fulfill his will through me, and I believe through you, and you're going to go into your future with power, with anointing, with revival. Amen? There is yet a new revival that is coming, and it's you and I waking up to our destiny. And we're coming out of Groundhog Day. We're not singing with Barbara Streisand the way we were. Dear Jesus, let's get out of that day and let's move into the next day. Amen. How many of you are there with me? Praise God. So I want to ask those of you that God's really speaking to, that you felt stuck. And then if you could come and play. If you felt stuck, you felt like you've been in the same day over and over again. Okay, and God's speaking to you today about coming out of your Groundhog Day. And it could be through any of the points that I've given you. You know, I just encourage you to listen to this message over again. But if God's speaking to you, I want to pray for you, okay? I want you to stand. If that's you, you're coming out of Groundhog Day and you've felt stuck, and God's bringing you into the next day. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You guys encourage me. Thank you for your humility. Because it's like I know God spoke to me about this, even though I think I preached this here, this message along these lines about seven or eight years ago. But I just felt this was God's message for several of you today. Praise God. Isn't this awesome? Praise God. Put one hand on your heart. Lift one hand to heaven where your help comes from. And just say this with me. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your word to me, for your encouragement to me. I am coming out of Groundhog Day. I'm lifting my eyes up, Lord, to seek you, to see what you have for me. I will go anywhere. I'll do anything that I know you're telling me. Give me new vision. Revision me. Refocus me. And I'll agree with you, Lord. And I will become the devil's biggest nightmare. I am the move of God. I am the anointing of God. I am the power of God. And I will fulfill the will of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Father, I speak grace. I speak great grace to everyone who stood. I speak great grace, Father. They will do, Father, impossible things. They will do exploits. And, Father, you're going to accomplish great things through them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Now listen, guys, tonight I'm going to be, I'll have Dan come up now, but tonight I want to encourage you to come back. I will be sharing again. I want to talk to you tonight about how I lead in the kingdom. I want to talk about leadership, an important, important leadership principle that will help you be a successful leader. How many of you are interested in that? Okay, and I'll see you tonight at 6:30. Dan?
We also want to receive an offering real quick.